If you have your Bibles, if you would, if you turn to Daniel chapter 6, we're going to be reading the entire chapter. It'll be 28 verses. Daniel chapter 6. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them, so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps, and because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find no charge or fault, because he was faithful. Nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, "King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators, satraps, the counselors, and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast in the den of lions. Now, king, establish this decree and sign the writing, so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter." Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. In his upper room, with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. "Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter." So they answered and said before the king, "That Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day." And when the king heard these words, he was greatly displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, "Know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes can be changed." So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you." Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of the lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you." Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatsoever was found on him, because he believed in his God. And the king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote, to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you take charge of this service this morning. And Lord, I just pray a special blessing upon the reading of your word. Lord, I love you and I praise you in the precious name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Amen. So I guess we've all been faced with troubles. Some have been faced with far more than others. And the world can begin to weigh down on you and pull you down and put a lot of burden upon you. I don't know if any of you ever heard, but they're talking about a coronavirus right now. Well, we've got illness, we've got death, we've got injury, financial problems, all kinds of burdens that can weigh down on you and bear down on you in life. And sometimes we let those consume us and overpower us. We're all faced with these types of decisions in life. We need to decide that how are we going to confront them? What are we going to do to battle those issues of our life? Are we going to rely upon ourselves? Are we going to just say, hey, I can handle it by myself? Are we going to rely on our own ability? Are we going to rely upon the help of others? Or are we going to trust in God that God is going to get us through it? Daniel was faced with the decision to follow the directive of man and not serve God, or to follow God and be judged by man. Now, we're going to be faced with challenges in life, but we need to remain strong in our faith, trusting God that he'll handle whatever comes our way, and pray that our God is going to be glorified in the end. The way to overcome trials in life is to keep our focus upon our God. We've got to remain strong in our faith in God. You know, Daniel was faced with some challenges. He was serving a king. He was one of the three governors placed over the satraps or the providential governors. And there was discussion from King Darius about placing him over the other two governors as well and giving him really full authority. And the king, he distinguished Daniel above those others. And Daniel was held in very high regard. He had previously served King Nebuchadnezzar and King Belshazzar, and he served them faithfully. And King Darius had developed a tremendous amount of respect for Daniel. So what did this cause? This caused a lot of jealousy on the regard of the others. So they began to plot against him. And they came up with this decree that they wanted to get King Darius to sign, to say that for 30 days, any praying to God, any other god or man other than King Darius would result in being cast into the den of lions. So they were just really urging the king and pressuring the king to do this. And basically, they just kind of suckered the king into doing this, what they did. And they knew that he favored Daniel and knew that Daniel was going to be loyal to God. And they knew that that was a way that they could get him. They set Daniel up and they set the king up. So Daniel had a decision. What was he going to do? Was he going to follow this decree, or was he going to serve his God? We know what Daniel did. Daniel served his God. So he could have followed this decree, and he went before the open windows and he prayed. He could have went back in another room and prayed, and no one would have seen him, and he could have been spared being thrown into den of lions. But he didn't do that because he wasn't ashamed. He wasn't ashamed of what he was doing. His faith didn't waver. He trusted that God was going to take care of him no matter what. So they followed Daniel home. They saw him there. They saw that he was praying to God. So they went before King Darius, and King Darius had a really difficult time with it. And you know, we're going to be faced with these difficulties and these trials in life, but we can't let those trials dictate our life. We can't let them interfere with our service to our Lord and Savior. We talk about the coronavirus. As of Friday, there had been 5,043 deaths Friday morning related to the coronavirus. Almost 3,200 were in China, a little over 1,100 in Italy, and a little over 500 in Iran. The rest of them were scattered. It was 121 countries in the world had diagnosed cases of coronavirus. In the U.S., there were 1,629 people infected. 41 deaths in 46 states and District of Columbia. I looked up the 2018-2019 flu season. There were 35.5 million people infected by the flu. There were 34,200 deaths related to the flu. This year in the 2019-2020 flu season, there were 16,000 deaths, 280,000 hospitalized, and 29 million people infected with the flu. So I'm not saying the coronavirus is a hoax. I'm just saying we might be panicking a little bit too much and not trusting that God's going to take care of us. Now, we're faced with these trials. Daniel was faced with the lion's den. We're faced with the flu. We're faced with the coronavirus. We're faced with other problems. And in difficult times, they're going to test our faith. They're going to challenge us. Life starts to bear down on us. Sickness starts to bear down on us. And it seems like we get in this hole that we can't climb out of. But we don't need to let ourselves get wrapped up into this. We don't need to let these things overpower us and pull us down. We need to trust in God that God's going to handle it. If we look at the likelihood of us getting over the flu versus Daniel's likelihood of getting out of the lion's den alive, we wouldn't even see any comparison there if we're looking at it from a human perspective. So we don't need to let our trials in life rule us. I don't think we need to run around carefree and thinking that nothing is going to bother us and coronavirus is going around and we start licking doorknobs, doing anything crazy like that. But it doesn't mean that we need to run around with masks on our face. I saw on TV the other day, I had one person had a full suit on, enclosure, and the next person had a mask on, just a mask on their face. And I'm like, you know, this is sending panic through our community. We're seeing this and we're becoming terrified because we're thinking it's some horrible plague that's gonna kill everyone. So I think we need to maybe settle down a little bit. I was we've seen a lot of closings and cancellations. I was supposed to do four active shooter presentations in the state, one in Culpeper, one in Farmville, one in Withville, and one in Williamsburg over the next about 3-4 weeks, and they've all been canceled. We've got schools that have been canceled. We've got colleges that have been canceled. Sporting events canceled. Conferences canceled. Churches canceled. I talked to a guy I work with that's works over in the admin building for Henry County, and the Methodist Church for Virginia has canceled all services for today. I think we need to, instead of panicking and worrying, we need to trust in God. God's going to take care of us. God's going to provide for us. God's taking care of us. Everything else in our life, can He not get us through this? Absolutely He can. God can handle anything. Now, Daniel was put in a bad situation, but Daniel didn't let that get him down. Daniel had faith in God. King Darius had faith that God was going to take care of Daniel. My reading of the scripture this morning, I'm seeing that, don't think King Darius really wanted to do what he did. We look at verse 16, King Darius said to Daniel, "Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you." It wasn't a sarcastic, "Will he deliver you?" with a question mark. It was, "He will deliver you," period. Daniel knew what King Darius had ordered, and he knew that he would be in trouble for doing anything that contradicted that. But that didn't stop him. And life's trials shouldn't stop us. We don't need to let anything get between us and get between us and God. Our faith in God will pay off. In order for it to pay off, we've got to have faith that God will deliver us from whatever trouble we find ourselves in. You know, the king had a special place in his heart for Daniel. And read in scripture that Darius, he was really troubled. He didn't sleep, he didn't eat, musicians didn't come in. He was really grieving. He was having a very, very hard time with that. Then it said morning came, and what did he do? It said he went with haste. He rushed down to the lion's den to check on Daniel. And he called out for Daniel. You would think in your mind, would he call out for Daniel if Daniel had spent the night in the lion's den? So I think he knew that God was going to spare him. So verse 20, King Darius said, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" And I believe he knew that he was going to be fine. Why else would he have called out to him? He was in a pit, a den, with a bunch of hungry lions. The odds didn't sound very good for Daniel. And Daniel's response was, "My God sent his angel to shut the lion's mouth." My God. He didn't credit anything else. He said, "My God did this." He knew that his God would take care of him, and he knew that God would deliver him from the mouths of the lion. He knew that God had everything under control. In January of 2003, in the Persian Gulf, there was a boat that had capsized. And guy was out in the water. He was in the water for 24 hours before he was spotted. Helicopter came by and spotted him and radioed for it. The USS Comfort, it was a medical ship that's part of the non-commissioned ship but part of the U.S. Navy, and it responded and rescued him, and doctors and nurses on board nursed him back to health. Now, many of us are treading water like that today. We don't know how we're going to hang on. We're faced with these problems, with these issues, and we're tired. We may feel lost. But all that we need to do is just to look up and know that our Lord and Savior is right there hovering over us, sending help to us, taking care of us. He can deliver us from our trouble, and he's going to make sure that we are delivered. You know, here, Daniel didn't give up. Scripture didn't say that Daniel fought. When King Darius sent the men to get him, went to cast him in the lion's den, didn't say anything about Darius being in distress. I'm sorry, Daniel being in distress. Didn't say that he was troubled. Didn't say that he was worried. Didn't say that he screamed for help. I was listening to a sermon one time, and I remember that guy was talking about Daniel, and he said that Daniel probably wouldn't have been very good to eat for the lions anyway. He said he was 50% grit and the other 50% backbone. And he also said that the lions got what they wanted. They got a bunch of tender, spineless Persians instead. But Scripture tells us that Daniel said that God shut the mouths of the lions. I also heard some trying to talk through this, because it seems from a human perspective, you're cast into a den of lions, that you're not going to survive that. Daniel survived it. Makes perfect sense when God's on your side. But some say, well, maybe he was hiding in the corner and the lions couldn't find him. I'm like, what? No, I don't think that was it. I think you got a bunch of hungry lions in there. I think they could have sniffed him out no problem. But no, God didn't keep Daniel from the lions. He kept him in the midst of the lions. So when we're faced with troubles in our life, I mean, God might not take us out of that trouble, but he's going to protect us while we're within that trouble. He's going to take care of us. He's not always going to keep us out of harm's way. Things are going to happen. Life's going to happen. But he's going to take care of us, and he's going to protect us while we're there. All we've got to do is have faith in him. All we've got to do is trust in him. Daniel had the faith. When Daniel described God, he used the words, my God. And, you know, I think he said that several times in there in Scripture, my God, my God. And I think that's great. He didn't look at it as, I mean, he showed possession. This is my God that's taking care of me. Now, I was listening to Amy doesn't like this, doesn't understand what. It's not that she doesn't like this, she doesn't understand how I do this. I can ride down the road, not have a radio on, not have anything. It's just perfectly quiet. And with Amy and Diane aren't in the car, it's perfectly quiet. But they were picking on me this morning. I told them I was going to get a little jab sometime today. But I can sit there and I can listen, have nothing on the radio, or I can listen to talk radio, and I listen to 95.3 a lot. It's just all day long. It's different sermons being delivered. And the other day, a preacher was giving a message, and he said, a man of God in the will of God is immortal until his work on earth is done. So that tells me that nothing is going to come to me, no harm is going to come to me until God's ready for it to happen. God's going to take care of me. God's going to protect me. When my work here on earth is done, then that's when he's going to take me from here. But he's going to protect me and he's going to take care of me as long as I'm here. And also, the goal in all of this, and we think of troubles and they're bearing down on us and how difficult they are, but the goal of all of this is that our God is going to be glorified. So regardless of what we face in life, ensuring that God is glorified is our objective. And this doesn't mean that we make God glorious. God's already glorious. What it means is that we see him as glorious, that we savor him as glorious, we celebrate him as glorious, we ensure others see him as glorious. After this entire ordeal of Daniel being cast into the lion's den, God was glorified. His saving power was demonstrated. So what kind of message does this send to you? Daniel was in the den of hungry lions. You know, we've all seen lions on television, and we've seen them going after their prey. It's violent. It's powerful. And it's very, very fast. Daniel spent the night in the lion's den, and no harm came to him. Scripture says there was no injury. There was not a single mark on him after spending the night in that lion's den. But the king cast the ones that schemed against Daniel and their families, and they were quickly overpowered by the lions, immediately overpowered, broke all their bones. And before they got to the bottom of the den, this happened. So Daniel spent the night in the lion's den. Nothing came to him. Cast the others, and it happened immediately. You know, these lions, they were hungry. So some saying that they had their fill, they couldn't find him. That's just not it. God saved him. God protected him. Now, after Darius saw this, he made another decree. And he wasn't tricked into this decree like he was the first one. The second decree came from God to glorify God. And he said, I'm paraphrasing here, but he said, we're going to honor the God of Daniel. He said, God is the living God. He said, God is forever. He said, God's kingdom can't be destroyed. He said, God's power is going to reign forever. He said, God delivers and God rescues. And that God works miracles on heaven and in earth. So King Darius ensured that people were going to see what God did here, how God saved Daniel. You know, if we want to grow our church, if we want to grow the kingdom of God, we don't need to glorify our worship services. We don't need to glorify our Sunday school class, our activities. What we need to do is glorify God. You know, on our last Sunday at First Baptist, they had asked me if I would preach that Sunday. And they had a meal for us afterwards, and it was either the week before that, they were up giving their announcements, and they were talking about that I was going to preach that Sunday, and we were having this meal, and they said, this Sunday is all about Eric and Amy. And as soon as they said that, I leaned over to Amy. I said, I wish you wouldn't have said that. I said, because that really bothered me, because it's definitely not about Eric and Amy. If they wanted to fix a meal, which I greatly, greatly appreciated, I'm still eating on some of the pies that they fixed, but that's fine. But the service wasn't about Eric. Service wasn't about Amy. Service was about God. And we strive to do God's work, and we're only a vessel, but we are here to do His work, to glorify Him and to build Him up and to uplift Him. We need to seek to glorify God in everything that we do, in the good times and the bad times. God gets the glory. So you may wonder, how is God glorified through my trials? Through these difficult times that I face, how does God get glorified in there? So when we encounter these difficulties in life, trusting in God demonstrates to other people that we have faith in Him. And they may wonder, how are you getting through this? How are you enduring this situation? Because we've got full trust and faith in our Lord and Savior. Now, we may often wonder, why did this problem happen to me? Why things happen are an unknown. We don't know. I've had a lot of people to ask me before at different times of life, difficulties in life, and I've asked those questions myself. Why did this happen? And I remember, this year will be 21 years ago when my mom passed. She had leukemia, and she was only 56 years old, and I sat there and I thought, and I was thinking of work and the people that I dealt with, and I was thinking, I know this guy right now that was shot. He's still out there wreaking havoc on the world. He was shot in the head. He was wreaking havoc on the world. I know this other guy that was shot in one leg, lost a leg from the knee down, was shot in the other leg, lost an eye. I mean, all of these things, and I'm thinking, well, why these guys are just... terrorizing the community, and my mom, who my eyes was perfect, never did anything wrong, why are you taking her? Until I realized that it was selfishness. I was wanting to keep her here because of me. I was a mama's boy, proud to be a mama's boy. Wasn't a day that went by that I didn't go and see her, or that I didn't talk to her, and it was very few that happened that I didn't go by and see her. She'd come by the house and she'd iron my uniforms for me. And I'd tell Amy that Mama did it better. Well, Mama would only put one crease in it. Amy would put three, so I don't know which was better. But, you know, you wonder how does, when I'm sitting there thinking and I'm being selfish and I'm just thinking about me because I want my mama with me. I want to be there and so I can and talk to her, get some advice from her, just spend time with her. And, you know, I finally began to realize that, you know, mama's better off than I am. She's much better off than I am. And through this, God was glorified because I saw that. I saw that God was working there. God was how the impact that she gave in my life, the things that she provided me in my life, and it ultimately helped for me to see God to be glorified in my eyes better. So we need to make sure that if we think about our reading this morning and we think about what the star of this story was, think about First Baptist and that Sunday and what the star of that Sunday was. The star of that Sunday wasn't Eric and Amy. The star of this story isn't Daniel or the lions or King Darius. The star is God. The star is our Lord and Savior. It's all about how God takes care of us and helps us through these trials in life, how He helps us to get through these difficulties. You know, when we're faced with challenges in life, the story isn't about us dealing with them. It's about how God helped us to get through those situations, how God kept us safe, how He brought us through that and out of that. So when we're going through these challenges in life, we're going through these difficulties, we've got to trust in God. We've got to rely upon Him, and we've got to seek Him out. It may seem like the world is bearing down on us and everything is just getting so heavy that we're not going to be able to get through it. And I know we've been through, every one of us have been through those situations in life, but the stronger, the more we rely upon God, the more strength is within us to be able to bear that burden. God's going to take care of our problems. He's got the power and He's got the ability to do that. God created everything that exists. Doesn't mean that He created our problems. Many times our problems are created because we don't trust in Him and rely on Him. But God's going to get us through it. We just got to have that faith to rely upon Him and seek Him out. If we trust in God and put our faith in Him, He's going to deliver us from the lion's den. If we submit in Him, we're going to reap the benefits. He is ultimately going to be glorified. So when we face trials in life, God's glory is where we need to focus upon. We need to go through life. When we go through life, we need to ensure that God is the star of that story. When we're faced with life issues that are so large that we can't feel like we can't get through them, God can get through them. He's got the power. He's got the ability. And He's got the desire to deal with our problems. All we got to do is look for Him, look to Him, and ask for His help. So I ask you this morning to put your trust and faith in Him. Put your unconditional trust and faith in Him. Because God loves you. He wants you to seek Him out. He wants you to ask Him for everything that you need in life. He tells us to bring these burdens, bring all of these problems, these issues that we have, and lay them at His feet, and He's going to take care of them. All we've got to do is our part. And that's the problem. A lot of times we don't follow through with our part. We don't rely upon Him. He's never let us down, never going to let us down. So He's waiting for each one of us right now. We need to seek Him out right now. So I just ask, as we move forward, that when we're faced with these challenges, when we're faced with the flu or coronavirus or sickness or financial problems or whatever those burdens are in our life, we need to trust in God. We need to rely upon Him. Let Him take care of these problems. We can use a little common sense when we do it, but He's got it under control. He can take care of it. If He created everything there is, do we not think that He can handle this little problem? All we have to do is trust. Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You so much for everything that You have done for us and the love and the comfort that You've shown to us. And Lord, we just pray that You continue to put Your hand of protection upon us and keep us safe and allow us to do the work that You want us to do. Lord, as we continue forward as a church, we just pray that we're a light in this community, that people will see us and see You through us. And Lord, we just pray that everything that we do will be for the sole purpose of glorifying You. Lord, we love You and we praise You in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Don't know if you